Sponsored No Holds Barred Talk. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This is the Global Reality Radio Network.
Right here on the Global Reality Radio Network. I'm your host, Josh Reeves. Thanks for being with us here tonight for another late night moon bat edition of the show. Yes, we're starting later and later lately, and that's just how it is. Tonight there was just not a lot of material. I didn't even know if I was going to do a show tonight, but it's one of those nights where, you know, it sucks because I actually, you know, some days you're tired or you're, you know, busy doing other things or stuff of that nature. And, you know, sometimes you're like, I don't want to do a show tonight. I'm tired or whatever. But, and that doesn't happen to be all that often. But most of the time, it's just if I don't do a show, it's either there's something else going on or there's not a lot of material. And that's kind of the case tonight. I mean, it's, you know, some days you're actually wanting to do a show, you know, because I contrary to what some people probably think, I actually do enjoy doing this. I don't enjoy the stress from it. I'm constantly stressed out every month knowing if we're going to have enough money to continue and all that stuff. But I do enjoy doing it, and I really did want to come on air and do a show tonight, but there just was not a lot of material. So we'll get into what news we do have to discuss with you here tonight on the show, and then we'll continue in our reading from the Lost Book of Enki for you tonight on the show as well. That ought to be good, and we'll get back into that. Love to have emails from you as well. Anybody out there, if you have emails you want to send in during the show tonight, if you've got topics for the show tonight, if you got things you want to talk about, globalrealityshow@gmail.com. That's globalrealityshow@gmail.com. That's where you send your emails in tonight. So go ahead and send them in here tonight. I'd love to have them. Love to read them on air for you here during the broadcast tonight. The website where this broadcast originates from, www.theglobalreality.com. It's www.theglobalreality.com. You can come and join us in the chat room as well there, theglobalreality.com, where this is our fundraising week for the broadcast, and we did get in a significant amount of that tonight, so thank you to our donator keeping us going there tonight. We did get closer, but we're still about 300 off. We have an increase in the past 2 months, which will be subsiding here over the next month. We won't have that problem again, but we've had just massive influxes of, everything's, I guess during the summer here in Dallas, where I live, the power consumption prices have just been through the roof, over the past month, 2 months, because of we had multiple days here, we had multiple 112 degree days. I remember there was a couple weeks ago, man, there was a couple weeks where it was like 108, 100 to 112 every single day, rolling blackouts, all that stuff. So our cost of operations, we've got computers running 24/7 over here for this stuff. So our cost of operations went up just this month, and it generally does that. It's nothing new. It always happens during the summer, and then it goes back down once you get into the wintertime, and it's not as big of a deal. But so we're about 300 off from having the rest of what we need for the month for the operating costs. So and the chipping banners, I don't know what's going on with the chipping banners. They're acting weird. They're putting in them. They're saying there's amounts that are there that aren't there. I go to create a new chip in banner. It will not let me create a chip in banner for the month of September at all. And when I do create one, it either puts in the wrong amount or it just goes completely screwy. I don't know what's going on with her. I may have to look into something else. If anybody knows any alternative sites out there, alternative options to chip in banners, please let me know, because I can't have this, you know. I can't have this messing with our stuff here. So I don't know what's going on with that. But anyway, our goal, we have to have by Thursday, we have $300, so that's a lot closer. So please donate. We didn't get it. We had one donator, and that's it. And we haven't had a lot over the past 2 weeks at all. And once we pay the bills, that's going to put us back at zero. So that's what we absolutely need to pay the bills. So please donate at the, you can use the donate button there if you want. You can, if the other chipping banner that's still there is still working, you can use that. But that's our goal. So please help us meet that so we can stay on track. We're going to be celebrating our 4-year anniversary next month here on the Global Reality. I'm totally excited about that. And just want to, again, continue to extend my thanks to everybody out there who has kept us on air and kept us going and kept us funded and kept us, the movies funded and kept everything, kept me alive. Thank you so much to everybody out there in, who's helped us out over the past 4 years. I'm going to try and do some special stuff for the month of September, get on some special guests and bring back up some guests we hadn't had on in a while, really do it up for the 4-year anniversary. And, we're also going to be having, as I usually do, in the past, I've done a couple of big fundraisers per year, aside from just our monthly cost things. I haven't done one of those this year. So in the month of September, to coincide with our 4-year anniversary, we're also going to be having a big, massive fundraiser that month. Because now that we've been on air for 4 years, I've still been using the same computer, which is on its last leg here. You know, our audio equipment's been going kind of wacky. You know, this stuff, I've used this stuff for 4 years now on air, and it's gone well, but you know, the technology is progressed and gotten so much better and cheaper, and this stuff's kind of getting out of whack. So we're going to have a fundraiser next month for the 4-year anniversary of the show to help us push forward into our 5th year to, get in some money to get, a new computer for the network and some new audio equipment, that kind of thing, just to make everything bigger and better, and to keep it going. It's just time, you know, it's due. We're overdue, and we need to have this. If you have to, you know, stuff breaks, you know, it gets old eventually, and you have to replace it. So, and I'm one of those people that just uses shit until it fucking falls apart, you know? I like to get my money's worth out of things. I know it sounds like I'm being a Jew or something, or a tight ass, but, you know, I've learned not to squander my resources, so I try to make everything that I have last as long as possible, but you have to be realistic about it, and so I've had to finally come to grips with the fact that, you know, that a lot of this stuff needs replacing, you know, so we're going to have a fundraiser next month for that, and we'll have the chipping banner up there real soon for that, for our 4-year anniversary of the Global Reality. And it's getting exciting. All this stuff continues to progress. Let's see what we have here tonight in the email bag. Still more coming in here. Hold on just a second. Let me go through here. This one says, "Hi, Josh. This story is floating around the net at Alex Jones' website in the Intel Hub. The American economy is in shambles, and Ben Bernanke has no clue what to do about it. The story is complete bullshit. Bernanke knows exactly what's going on. The simple fact is he doesn't have to do anything about it other than let the economy take its predetermined course to absolute fucking ruin. Mike Montagna, creator of the mathematically perfected economy concept at perfecteconomy.com, describes the situation as terminal failure, the point at which the falsified debt is unpayable." Right. That's, you know, well, that's exactly where we're at. And that's where we're at. Bob Chapman, the international forecaster, describes it as the federal government is broke and the debt is unpayable. Yep, that pretty much says it all. We're fucked. We're fucked if we fail to realize that this whole goddamn situation is the creation of a bunch of power-hungry, inbred psychopaths with delusions of grandeur who think they're gods and destined to rule the world. I would 100% totally fucking agree with you right there, my friend. That is indeed the case. Fuck them, he says. I'm not buying into their fear crises they're creating for one single man. Well, good for you. And that's what we need. We need everybody not buying into their fucking fear crises. That's what they want. All of this stuff. They want you pissing yourself over the economy or pissing yourself over war or shitting yourself over Nibiru and, you know, and fucking Common Elanin. Oh, everybody's got a fucking fear scenario to sell you, don't they? Well, not here. I'm not here to sell you a goddamn thing. That's why I don't have sponsors and all the dick pills and magic creams and water filters and all that horse shit. Because you don't need to be sold anything. You don't need, and most of all, you don't need to be sold fear. I mean, my God, fear is not something you should ever have to pay for anyway. Why do people pay for fear? You know, that is the perpetual question, isn't it? You know, that's the question that the guys in that Tony Iommi and Ozzy and those guys in Black Sabbath asked themselves. That's how they got their name of the band. They were starting up a band, and where they were rehearsing at was right across from a movie theater, and the movie that was showing was called Black Sabbath. And Tony Iommi said, "Why do people pay money to have the crap scared out of them?" And since they do have the money, since they do pay money to have the crap scared of them, why don't we exploit that and play music that scares the crap out of people? And it worked. It was a great idea. But that's a real thing. That's a real foundation there. He really keyed in on something there with that statement. Why do people pay money to have the crap scared out of them? But that's what people do every time they, you know, support one of these fear merchants and these infovangelists like Alex Jones. But that's the whole thing is that if you're in fear of this stuff, you how can you possibly be empowered to try and change things or be empowered to be an activist if you are succumbing to the fear of these things that you're hoping to get out there and do something about and change? That's not an effective battle strategy. You're not going to be able to combat the thing that you see as a threat if you are in fear of it, because it will consume you. You have to go forward against these things, understanding that the fear is what feeds this thing. Their entire power structure exists on the basis of fear, ladies and gentlemen. And if you take that fear away, you take away the power that these people have over us. You want to know the key? You want to know the secret? You want to know the solution? There it is. You take away what powers their control system, and their entire control system is based on fear. Don't believe me? Really? What makes you get up and go to work every day? Huh? Tell me, what makes you slave every week for those precious Federal Reserve, huh? What makes you do it? You can say you got bills and you got this, but what does all that boil down to? Oh, I got bills, I got this, I got the house, I got to pay my cell phone bill, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, but what is all that? It is a fear that if you do not pay these things, you won't have food to eat, a roof over your head, a cell phone to talk on, internets to get on, electricity to power all those things, right? So our entire existence on this planet pretty much is based on being able to quell our fears, if only for a moment, if only for a few days, so we're having to do it again, of what is going to be taken away from us if we don't do all these crazy activities and work all this, do all this slave activity and all this shit, to be able to just strictly survive, have a roof over your head, shelter, food. All this other extraneous bullshit we take on, you know, internet bills, cell phone bills, car payments on a new car, all this stuff. We take all this stuff on, but then that perpetuates that fear. Fear that I'm not going to have enough to pay for this. Fear of that, this and that and the other. That is what keeps the whole thing in place. But if everybody one day decided to just, every single person on the face here just didn't go to work one day, everybody, the system would collapse overnight. If everybody in one moment decided that they weren't going to be in fear of not having enough, fear of a government, fear of war, fear of starvation, fear that their family wasn't going to be safe. If everyone on this planet could simultaneously just let that all go, these people wouldn't stand a chance. So understand this if you don't already. Fear is what keeps this thing going, and all of us are guilty of it. Every single one of us. Me, you, all of us. And we can talk about this shit till the cows come home, and we can go over every bit of minutia when it comes to info, and we will, and it's important, but I'm telling you right now, the fear of whatever, fear of judgment of a god, fear of judgment by your family, by your coworkers, by whoever. Our entire existence is based on fear. You know, my dad died this year, and that was back in May, and you know, it's one of those things where you look at it, and it gives you a lot of retrospection when you're looking at, you know, someone's life who you've known your whole life, who gave you life. It's a very interesting thing. Those of you who have never gone through this, you will. You'll know what I'm talking about. Those of you who have gone through this already, you'll already know what I'm talking about here. But, and it just, my dad's entire life pretty much over the, you know, was revolved around trying to work at all these different jobs to be able to put, you know, food on the table for his family. That was his whole sole purpose in life. And that's what he did, you know, and he was a musician. He was a harmonica player and he liked to play music, but he didn't get to do that as much as he wanted to because, you know, he was having to be the provider and stuff. But, you know, I look at that and I see the way that it just sucks, man, to think that we're put here and our whole, someone's whole existence, someone's whole life pretty much can just be, you know, constantly working in their slave system. And then it's over and you're dead at, you know, 55 of cancer from putting all the crap that they put out, you know, pills and stuff. My dad was in constant pain since, I don't know, late 80s when he first had back surgery. So he was on, you know, pain pills his entire life, pretty much, which came as, you know, as a result of working at some job and he fucked his back up. You know, it's just, that's how it is. And they perpetuate that. And then they've got you and then they, you know, they keep you alive just long enough with chemo and all that stuff to milk all of your insurance. And then, you know, because, you know, it was pretty much, I think, right when my dad's insurance, it was right when my dad's insurance wouldn't pay for him to be in the hospital any longer. He'd been there for about a month or so. And they wouldn't pay for the hospital anymore. So we moved him to a hospice care facility. And I think he was at the hospice care facility a day when he died. But believe me, I definitely felt as if, you know, they kept him long, just long enough. Cause I mean, he died right after he left the hospital, which, you know, the insurance company wouldn't pay for anymore. Cause he had to go to a hospice thing, which was cheaper. They paid for that. And he's there one day and then he dies. I really did feel like that. You hear people say it about the medical industrial complex. You hear people say that that's what they do. I'm here to tell you, man, I experienced it. I lived it. They do that. They keep you alive just long enough until your insurance will pay up to a certain point, and once it won't pay past a certain point anymore, that's it. But that's the whole thing, man, is that if we want there to be more to life, than just working in their fear slave economy system our entire lives just to, quote unquote, stay alive and be alive and have a life? Somebody says, you know, so we're killing ourselves just to say that we have security? This has got to be a fallacy. This cannot be the way things are supposed to be. But the only way it changes is if we decide not to let it go that way. And unfortunately, man, I don't know how that's ever going to happen with the amount of people we have on this planet right now. Let's continue on with his email here. He says, I would encourage all of my fellow moonbats to go to the perfecteconomy.com website and study the details of how this evil system works and how to fix it. It's not enough to say that perpetually borrowing at interest is the problem, which is correct, but it shows a lack of understanding of how all this works. It's second grade level mathematics, but the terminology requires a bit of study to grasp the whole concept. We can fix this, but we will have to truly understand what the fuck they've done to us and make damn sure that never happens again. Give us a Sam Kinison style. Oh, on the air. How did Sam, I don't know how he did that. How did, I can't, how did Sam Kinison do it? I can't remember his voice that much right now. I just remember, you know, what was the one he'd always say? You can suck my fucking dick and fucking like it. love you, my friend, Chris at New Mexico. Thanks, Chris. Let's see what else we have here. This is a good one. This comes from Max. Max says, hi, Josh. I was listening to the show last night when you covered some news about the moon. I remembered when you noted that, according to the Anunnakis, the moon is artificially made and that it could be a giant alien base. Time after time, I noticed how the puppet masters love to hide lots of little hints in movies as a part of their twisted so-called moral code of hinting the public of certain things. Anyway, I don't know if you've ever seen that movie, The Truman Show, from 1998. Yes, I have seen that. It was basically depicting a 24/7 hidden camera reality show that revolved around one guy, Truman, that was adopted as a baby by the corporation that makes this show, only to be raised inside a fake town that was constructed inside a massive dome where all the people he knew in his life were actors. Well, if you saw that movie, you may recall that the control room of the whole thing was inside the moon, or should I say the fake moon? Ah, nice catch there. If we stop to think about the moon actually being the Anunnaki's headquarters, this is pretty similar to what we see in the Truman Show, where the producers of the whole operation is operated from the moon, plus the movie is filmed with tons of symbolism. It is. I haven't seen that movie in a long time. I should probably go back and watch that movie again. It's funny how by listening to your show, things like this often surface back into my mind after all these years. Man, you summed it up right there. It's funny how listening to your show, things like this often surface back into my mind after all these years. That's why I'm here, man. That's, you know, and that's why you guys are here for me too, because you guys do that to me all the time. You'll send me stuff. You know, you'll hear me say something and you'll be like, hey, you know, I heard you say it like this, you know, I heard you say this and it made me think of this, check this out. And I'm going, oh my God, I didn't think about that. And then we have another piece. And then somebody else says, hey, you know, I heard you, this guy over here say that. And I heard you say this. Well, hey, did either one of you guys hear this? And then boom, next thing you have another piece. I mean, this is really important stuff because, you know, it's got to be reciprocal. If I'm putting out information and stuff, it's got to be reciprocal. You guys have to be doing your own work too with what I'm putting out there, you know. Try to take the bits that I talk about and expand on those things. If you hear me briefly mention a group or briefly mention a topic or something, don't, you know, it's okay to email me and say, will you talk more about this? I heard you mention this. Will you talk more about it? I'm okay with that. But also take that little bit and go research that. And I guarantee you, man, most of the time, you're going to end up finding stuff that I didn't find. And that's, to me, that's what we need. That's so amazing when that happens. When we back in 2009, we started uncovering a bunch of stuff about the Ark of the Covenant being in Yemen Gary Vay came out with a bunch of stuff, and I had started seeing things pointing in that direction, and we started talking about that because that it looked like that was the next place they were going to be moving into militarily, and lo and behold, it was. They started telling us that's where Al-Qaeda was. That's where the underwear bomber came from, all this stuff. But all of our listeners started really digging on that, sending me stuff. We found all this great information, and I think it brought us all a lot closer to understanding what this information really means. And to me, that's another one of the ways that you actually change things, is because then it's reciprocal. It's not just, and that's what I've always wanted it to be about when doing the radio show, you know, for me. I've always wanted it to be where there's, you know, because I always hate, you know, most of these guys that do radio shows are just so impersonal. You know, they act like they're fucking rock stars or something. I'm nobody. I'm just a regular dude like you doing this. No different than any one of you out there. But we don't have enough people like me that are just, that want to, you know, just want to do something. I don't want to start some, you know, little group and give it a cutesy name, you know, with We Are the Future Dallas, you know, or, and we're starting our new groups. We Are the Future in Austin. You know, let's go fight the New World Order. I'm not, it's gay. I'm just not into that. It's much cooler and much funner to have, you know, just a bunch of individuals who are into looking up stuff and into researching and into, you know, gaining more truths. So that's, you know, I'm glad you keyed in on that, man, because that's really an important thing for all of us to be doing. And I'm glad that you sent me this email to point out that stuff about the Truman Show. You're exactly right. It does. I mean, look, if you deny that they drop all kinds of stuff in movies, you just haven't watched enough movies, man. I mean, I see shit in almost every movie I watch now. Little things, little subtle things dropped in there that only people that have eyes to see, those who actually know what these deeper symbols mean and these different, you know, things that are talked about in ancient texts. I mean, you pick up on it left and right once you have the eyes to see. I guess that's why your show is so awesome and why I wish I could chip in like we all should. If there are listeners out there that do have means to help out, they should do so because the show is an asset that must be preserved. Thanks again and hope you read this on air, Max. Well, thank you, Max. That was a great email, my friend, and look forward to having more emails from you in the future. Yeah, thank you so much for that. George says Comet Elenin is breaking apart. Well, thank God. Maybe people will go wipe now. I don't know, man. We'll see. I'm not buying into all of it. I'm not buying into the misnomer of Nibiru. You know, I mean, have any of you guys yet? Let me go to the chat room and ask any of these guys that are in there, that are hanging out, their opinion on this. Those of you who've been listening to me read The Lost Book of Enki and then before that reading William Bramley's Gods of Eden, I haven't yet heard this or seen any evidence of this in any of the Sumerian texts that I've read or looked at or anything else. Have any of you guys ever seen any evidence or anywhere where it says in any of the Sumerian texts or Lost Book of Enki or anything else yet we've read yet or anything else you've researched? I cannot for the life of me find anything that says that when Nibiru comes close to Earth, it causes all these cataclysms and all this stuff. It's just flat not there. What they're calling Nibiru that people are seeing or the Comet Elenin or whatever it may be, is a misnomer because they're saying this thing is a brown dwarf and the Anunnaki do not describe Nibiru as a brown dwarf. It's a planet, very much like Earth, with an atmosphere and everything else. It's not a star. These people are not existing on what used to be a star. If it's a brown dwarf that's entering into our solar system, what I'm saying is that that may very well be true. But it's a misnomer that people are calling this alleged brown dwarf or whatever it is in our solar system that's been monitored for a very long time now. The fact that they're calling that Nibiru when it's not Nibiru. You understand what I mean? It's a misnomer. So this entire conspiracy culture that's been built around, you know, Nibiru is the destroyer and this brown dwarf that's in our atmosphere is Nibiru is a lie. I don't doubt that Nibiru is probably out there, but I have not seen any evidence that shows that Nibiru comes close to Earth and causes cataclysms. What it says, and you guys might remember this, we read this in the Lost Book of Enki, it says that when it comes close to Earth, that it's near Earth for a certain amount of shars. That's the Anunnaki period of lapse of time. And that during the time period in which it's near Earth, the Anunnaki can basically come freely from Nibiru to Earth back and forth. And that's where people have speculated that, yeah, they're going to come back and they're going to enslave us and, you know, and all this other stuff. Well, yeah, but the pole shift stuff, it could happen from the appearance of a brown dwarf and not be Nibiru is what I'm saying. And then, of course, Vulcan, as we've talked about so many times, which they never mention. So my point is that all this conspiracy culture stuff about Nibiru coming near Earth is just based on a misnomer. They're misapplying the name Nibiru to something that's not Nibiru. And again, you know, that's what it talked about, that they could come down and, you know, for how many shards that Nibiru was close to Earth, they wouldn't have to use the transports. They could basically just freely come back and forth. And again, that's where people speculate they're going to come and enslave us or they're going to come and, you know, set us free or whatever have you. But all of this stuff that people have been talking about, Comet Elenin and Nibiru and the brown dwarf that's in our galaxy and all this stuff, again, they're misapplying the title of Nibiru to something that's not Nibiru and is something else that they probably, well, maybe they don't want to tell us what it is. Here's another email tonight from Dan. Dan says, hello, I just started listening to your show after I heard you on Red Ice. I thank you for the information you are putting out there. I want to give you some information that has helped me the last couple of years. I'm giving you links to Cosmic Awareness. I'm not sure if you have heard of it. I found it to be very valid information. It is channeled information. I'm going to give you the links, and I hope that you read to expand more knowledge. I also have an audio message on the Virginia earthquake, so I will start with that link. Thank you for what you are doing. Once I get more money, I will send you some for your equipment. Thank you. We'll go on to lunaticoutpost.com. And spread the word about your website and show. Dan, here are the links. CosmicAwareness.org, HTML/hotlines. Okay. Well, I hope you read some of this, and I think you'll be very impressed with this information. All right. Well, thank you, Dan. I appreciate that stuff. I will definitely check it out and let you know what I think about it. Here's one from Mamie. Mamie says, look up a video on YouTube called Logical Fallacies, also The Kabbalah by Gene Odening. Anther Cipher is the Severn liberal arts all elite must know. Trivium, Quadrivium, Senses, 3-4-5, Triangle. Another cipher is the Cipher of Genesis by Carlos Suarez. Esoteric Astrology by Alice Bailey. The Holy Mushroom by Jean Irvin. Yeah, I'm familiar with all that stuff. Bonus fact, Zion was an ancient city of Atlantis. Equals Salem equals Jerusalem. City of Enoch, Toth, Hermes. Get it. And an esoteric tradition, after Atlantis sunk, some survivors went to India, then to Egypt. That's why all things go back to India until Sumerian discoveries. Tibet was the Holy of Holies. Sorry about one of my emails. I wasn't trying to be an ass. All right, well, I forgive you, whatever it was. forgive me for being an ass back. If I was, I don't know if I was, and I probably was. Generally, I am. Then watch a few hours of Fox News and laugh your ass off on how it works. Then check out more material by Jan Irvin. Yeah, familiar with all that stuff. I only knew this because I got into alchemy, but to read esoteric material, you need to know the language in alchemy. This sounds like funny shit. But it's true. Far as smart in the world, most of us have a 12th grade education. No matter how much you know, because most of this knowledge only taught to the elite, and that's wordplay. Yeah, there you go. Dan says, oh, cool. So he sent me an email. He went to this website and made, oh, wow. So he went to this lunatic outpost website, whatever it is. I've never heard of it. But Dan, who sent us an email there, sent me a link. He went and he made a whole thread and just totally spammed it with like a bunch of my videos. That's awesome, Dan. Good work. Thank you, man. I appreciate that. You just never know how people are going to find your stuff and who you're going to reach. And it's pretty interesting stuff there. Let's see. I think that's all the emails we have tonight. Let's see if we can get into some news here tonight. You guys notice how they've been talking about all these resurgence of long past, you know, things like the Black Plague and the, cholera somewhere. I mean, we've had this stuff licked for many years, and nobody seems to remember the reports that have come out over the past 4 or 5 years in the news with all these bioweapons facilities getting anthrax and getting, you know, Ebola and getting the Black Plague and getting all these, you know, from bodies and stuff. And you're going, why do these guys need this? And then, of course, you know, I mean, it literally came out that all these stage 5 bioweapons facilities, Fort Detrick and others, were had all of the, you know, the flu. Remember the old, what was it, the flu bug that killed a bunch of people? Pure strains of that. Why do they need all this? They need it because they're planning on unleashing it back on us so that they can then provide the cure with their medical industrial complex backing. But then, of course, you're only going to get the said cure if you can afford it, if you have money to pay for it. If not, well, consider yourself a part of the eugenics operation. But I've noticed several stories over the past couple of weeks where, you know, they're talking about resurgences in the plague, resurgences in cholera. You know, I mean, folks, in the 21st century, right, with the technology we have, none of this stuff should be outbreaking again. The only reason it will ever outbreak is because they allow it to by design. DNA taken from the skeletons of plague victims in medieval London has unearthed a shocking revelation. The Black Death is still present today. Yeah, it's still present because you motherfuckers went and dug up these skeletons and took it out and weaponized it and put it back out into the goddamn population. Notice how it was, it took us finding the bodies to realize that Black Plague is still with us. That's your story. I mean, that's pretty thin, dude. We had no idea Black Plague was even still around until we dug up some bodies and scraped some Black Death out of it. And then we found out it's still around. Oh, really? Well, no shit, Sherlock. I guess it is still around if you go and dig it up out of bodies and expose it in open air, you fucking nitwits. I mean, my God. A winner wrote this article. Boy, Stephen Hull, you are a winner. Bodies of victims who were buried in mass plague graves in the capital show that part of the same sequence of genes still exists hundreds of years later. The Black Death claimed the lives of one-third of Europe's population in just 5 years, from 1348 to 1353. Scientists have now confirmed that Yersinia pestis, which is known to cause cases of the plague today, was also responsible for the brutally damaging bubonic plague, which almost wiped out Europe. Previously, tests which showed presence of the bacteria in medieval samples had been ignored because it was assumed that they were contaminated because the modern-day bug spreads much more slowly and is far less deadly. Now, researchers at the University of Tübingen's Institute of Scientific Archaeology and McMaster University in Canada, it was responsible for the deaths. The results of the research have now been published, blah, 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 blah. Well, again, DNA was taken from 109 skeletons for the study, and comparing the samples to those of 10 others excavated from an even older non-Black Death-related site, researchers could prove contamination was not a factor. So, yeah, you'll see the Black Death. You'll see research of this so they can, you know, sell you the cure full of all sorts of little nano things that'll go in your body and make sure you get sick when they want you to get sick so that you have to go in and, you know, they get more money out of you. That's what the new medical industrial complex takeover is, man. That's what it's all about. That's why they don't mind pumping all kinds of shit into the water. That's why they don't mind letting these oil spills and these radiation leaks and all this shit go crazy. They want, that's better for them. The sicker we are worldwide, the more money and more enslavement they can get by selling us the cure. It's not science fiction anymore. It's not the plot of some TV show. That this is our reality now. It's not a Philip K. Dick novel. It's real. You guys seen this? 9/11 coloring book has emerged on the brink of the 10th anniversary of the attack on the World Trade Center. It's entitled, We Shall Never Forget 9/11, the Kids' Book of Freedom. The color book begins with Osama bin Laden plotting to attack the United States. Oh, that's great. Man, I'm so glad I don't have kids. I would be in fucking jail. Because I'd go down and just pistol whip somebody who fucking, if I had a kid and they tried to give my kid a coloring book that that the first thing it showed on the inside of this kid's coloring book is this goddamn government perpetuated lie of Osama bin Laden in a cave planning on flying planes into buildings. My God, it's an absolute lie. And they're going to give your children this lie in a fucking coloring book with red, white, and blue stripes. I mean, my God, folks, we've been in the Fourth Reich for, since after World War II. They just transferred the old Reich over to the United States. And when they bring down the United States, they'll just transfer it over to the Fifth Reich to somewhere else, and China or Russia will head it up, but it'll still be the same right-wing Reich. That's just unbelievable. The color book begins with Osama bin Laden plotting to attack the United States and ends with bin Laden being shot by a Navy SEAL. A spokesperson for the publisher said that seeing bin Laden get shot provides closure for children. Seeing Osama bin Laden get shot provides closure for children. I'm confused because, you know, if you're trying to provide closure, oh, well, we don't have to worry about that evil Osama bin Laden anymore, boys and girls. Navy SEALs went in and blew his goddamn head off and blew his brains all over the fucking walls, children. Yes. Yeah, so you can sleep safe tonight, children, knowing that the Osama bin Laden boogeyman won't be hiding under your bed to come out and drink your blood. However, Al-Qaeda is still a threat. So even though Osama bin Laden won't be hiding under your bed, children, Al-Qaeda is real and they're still a threat. So, you know, sleep tight, kiddies. I mean, it's fucking sick. Man, these guys. They're well past the point of Hitler. Hitler would look at something like that and went, no. I can't do that, man. I mean, seriously, these guys have done shit that Hitler would have been like, no, we can't. That's too over the top. Scientists discover that your gut reaction is actually the right reaction. I've been telling people that for years, man. Whatever you first feel in your gut about something, that's it. That's what you go with. Go on your gut feeling when setting goals because more often than not, it'll be right, researchers have revealed. According to a study by Canada's University of Alberta, when it comes to working out where the future lies, your unconscious mind is both smarter than you think and can be a great motivator. Alberta School of Business researcher Sarah Moore and colleagues from Duke and Cornell University say unconscious feelings about objects in the environment influence the pursuit of long-term goals. Their study explores how the unconscious mind responds. Oh, this page is doing screwy stuff here. Their study explores how the unconscious mind responds to objects in relation to an individual's goals and how the unconscious continues to influence feelings about these objects once the goals are reached. Whether or not the outcome has been successful. In the past few years, we recognize that some of Sigmund Freud's ideas on the unconscious mind were in fact correct, and that a lot of our decision-making and a lot of our feelings are based on things that we're not really aware of. Well, that's absolutely true. We make decisions about things sometimes that we're right about, and we can't really tell how we deducted it. You know, it happens. It's that sixth sense sort of thing. You know, that's the part of ourselves that they don't want us to tap into, you know. They just want to go, oh, that was weird, or no, that was a coincidence, or oh, ha, ha. No, that's actually you tapping into a part of yourself that's been repressed. So you need to expand on that when that happens. It's like synchronicity. Once you recognize that synchronicity is a real thing and it does occur and it does happen, it happens to you all the time. everything's like that. You know, when I was a teenager and I was young and I didn't know anything and I was first getting this information, when I was a young teenager, I was, you know, I, for a period of time, considered myself an atheist. But it was only because it was a outward reaction to everything I'd seen growing up, you know, from, I mean, growing up in the South down here in Dallas and the outlying areas of Dallas and Bible Belt Central down here, man, you know, and so, you know, when you go to school and you wear, you know, when like I did when I was in high school, go to school wearing heavy metal t-shirts and stuff, automatically you're a devil worshiper and automatically, you know, no matter how smart you are, people are going to try, or people at least did me, try and keep you down and hold you down because you happen to be into a certain type of music. So retarded. That's, you know, that's really where this, you know, I was just sort of like, didn't, I wanted the farthest thing away from that. But once I got older and I started to have spiritual experiences and I started realizing, wait a minute, you know, it's religion that's the problem. Your own spirituality in connection with the universe and connection with nature and connection with everything that's inside of yourself and the source of energy that exists in all things that we all can communicate with. Once you're able to tap into that and you acknowledge that that's there and that's real, boom. Everything in my life got better after that. And that's what people have to realize is that you don't have to, I believe in nothing and denying that there is an energy that exists when all of it within all of us and just saying, oh, I'm atheist, I don't believe anything, blah, blah, blah. And cutting off your connection with the source that is in all things, you have to voluntarily cut that off for that to not be there. And that's where I believe much of the misery on us as a species comes from. And remember that atheism was created by the same people that create all the other religions. Michael DeSarin once said on my show that you're no more threat to the power structure if you're an atheist than you are if you're just a blind follower of Christianity. That's true. In either one of those situations, the intelligentsia of the priest class has you just right where they want you. Because then they can get you in a dialectic. See that? Interesting stuff there. Let's see what else we have here. A melee broke out Tuesday afternoon at Playland Amusement Park when Muslim visitors became angry that the park was enforcing its ban on headgear by prohibiting the women from wearing the traditional head coverings on some rides. Police from at least 9 agencies converged on the park beginning at 3 p.m. after county police sought assistance in responding to a disturbance which involved 30 to 40 people. Two rangers were injured while breaking up fights between visitors, and two visitors were charged with felony assault, police said. Another 13 people were arrested, mostly charged with disorderly conduct. Names were not disclosed. All those charged were released by Tuesday night. And the park was crowded with Muslims celebrating Eid al-Fitr, one of Islam's two major holidays. Most were from community groups in Westchester and New York. As part of a day-long event arranged by the Muslim American Society of New York. So they went to go ride on these rides with headgear on, and they thought they were going to out, you know. They're going to blow up a fucking roller coaster or something. My God. I mean, they've got us all believing, oh my God, somebody in a headscarf is a terrorist. I was a terrorist. He probably went to Al-Qaeda. I heard some guy say that one time. I was like standing in line at a you know, a fucking Packy-Mart or something somewhere. And there is this fucking guy in front of me in line, man. I'm sorry. I'm laughing my ass off. I'm just thinking about it. I forgot about this guy. He was just a total douche. And well, you ain't gonna let me do this. I don't remember what it was. Well, God damn it. That ain't American. Sir, you cannot buy lottery tickets with your credit card, so you have to pay cash. That ain't American. You know, something like that. That's not American. And like, blah, 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 blah. And he's all raising, you know, he's getting all loud. I'm sitting there going, come on, dude. And he's like, burr, 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 burr. Goddamn, probably with Al-Qaeda. Goes out the door. I started laughing. I was like, did that dude just say you were with Al-Qaeda? Yeah, did stay behind the counter. Actually, I am from India. I am from Nepal. I am not even from Pakistan. Omar over here, he is from Pakistan. I am not from Pakistan. I am from India. Yes. But you know, anybody that's brown that works in a gas station's got to boot Al Qaeda. That's how we roll down here in Texas. Seriously, I don't know if it's like this where you live, but in Texas, man, if you got a headscarf on or you work in a fucking thank you, come again. You're probably with Al Qaeda, you're probably one of them sleeper cells. I'm gonna have to call Jack Bauer in here. Oh, Jesus. Canada warns not to buy fresh semen online. Well, I think it's good. I think we'll go ahead and declare that one. News title of the week. Yeah, I think it deserves it. Canada warns not to buy fresh semen online. Thank you, Canada. Thank you for your contribution in warning us, do not buy fresh semen online. Okay, well, if any of you out there were considering buying some fresh semen online, you might want to think twice. Canada's health agency on Tuesday warned would-be parents not to purchase fresh, quote-unquote, fresh semen online, saying it may be tainted with infectious diseases. Are there really guys, because I'm going to do this if there are. Are there really guys going online now, like, trying to hawk their stuff? There's some fresh semen right here. Give me $5,000, I'll give you a fresh shot of it right now. Damn, I'm setting up shop. Well, we can start taking orders right now, if you want. All right, globalrealityshow@gmail.com, globalreality.com here. We're going to be offering fresh semen for the next hour. Get your orders in. It's $1,000 a shot, and I will shoot my stuff into a cup, flash freeze it, and send it to you for $1,000. I do not have HIV, AIDS, hepatitis B, C, syphilis, chlamydia, gonorrhea, or any of the other stuff. So if you're looking for some fresh sperm, don't buy it from Canada. Don't buy it from anywhere else. Buy it here tonight for the next hour. I'll be squeezing out as much as I can. We may have to get some stroke mags in here during the commercial break, but fresh shot for you ladies for the next hour. I'll get as much as I can. You know, we'll try to see how many specimens we can get out there for the end of the show tonight. And that's going to be our fundraiser for them. We're going to get our new equipment that we need to. For the network, I'll just squeeze one out. We'll have the Jerry Lewis telethon, you know. We need $1,000. Who's got $1,000? I got another squirt. Oh yeah, there we go. Daddy's getting a new computer now. Hey, free Kleenex, free box of Kleenex for the first three orders tonight only. Yeah, you heard me. Tonight only, free box of Kleenex for the first three orders. I'll even throw in some of the soft stuff. Oh, yeah. Can't beat that deal. Really, I would have already been into this. I can't. Thank you, Canada, for learning. So I didn't know you could sell sperm online. Wow, people are paying for sperm online, fresh sperm shit. I got plenty. I haven't had a regular girlfriend in decades. So, my balls are like fucking bowling balls full of pudding over here. I can provide some of that. But wow, I wasn't even aware. Health Canada is reminding Canadians of the serious potential health risks of using donor semen for assisted conception obtained through potentially unreliable sources such as the internet. Potentially unreliable sources such as the internet. Yeah, because you're going to have fucking dumbasses like me up here selling their shit off. I mean, I got plenty. Come on, get it in here. Just go ahead. You got PayPal, baby? I take PayPal. Cash is king, but PayPal is queen. So go ahead and send it in there. I'll take it. However much you need, yeah. Potentially unreliable sources such as the internet. Oh, my God. but you may potentially get some unreliable semen off the internet. We just want to let you know. that semen that you buy off the interwebs could be potentially unreliable. Donor semen obtained through quote-unquote questionable means. I'm pretty sure obtaining semen from a radio talk show host on air would be questionable means, but hey, who am I to judge, right? You got cash, I got semen, let's make a deal. It explained they may not have been screened or tested, and therefore may not be safe. Canada has strict controls for obtaining donor semen to minimize the potential risk of transmitting serious infectious diseases. That's, Oh man. That story just made my whole week right there. Unbelievable stuff. All right, well, we're going to take a break and come back. And when we come back for the break, we'll be getting into the Lost Book of Enki for you here tonight on the show. So glad you all could join us. This is the Global Reality for you right here on the Global Reality Radio Network. Stay with us.
Dangerous call.
back here with you on the Global Reality, right here on the Global Reality Radio Network. I'm your host, Josh Reeves. Thanks for being with us here tonight for another late night Moonbat edition of the broadcast. My website where this broadcast originates from is www.theglobalreality.com. It's www.theglobalreality.com. And this is our fundraising week. We're about 300 short of our goal right now. We have to raise that to pay the bills by Thursday. Please use the donate button for that. We're about to put up our new chipping banner for the four-year anniversary fundraiser. And Manhydra is on my command putting that up probably as we speak. So thanks to Manhydra there. Turns out he was okay. He was just busy. He didn't get swept away in the hurricane. But we're about 300 short of our goal. So please, you can use the donate button for that if you want to help us out with that amount. We have to have that in by Thursday. So please do so we can continue forward. And coming on our 4 years of broadcasting, and amazing that the four-year anniversary is going to be coinciding also with the release of the Zero Volume 2. Which we're going to have out before the end of the month of September. So that's going to be a big month for us. And so we hope that you'll help us do it up big for our four-year anniversary out there and help us reach our goal for that. All right, we're going to be getting into the Lost Book of Enki here for you tonight. And find my spot. $2.59. Now this is the account of how Marduk was saved to exile departed, and how the Ikur was dismantled and lordship over the lands was rearranged. This is going to be interesting. So they're basically going to talk about, you know, those of you out there that are astute researchers and people who are able to glean information from this, be paying attention to this reading, because those of you who are able to pick up things, you guys will be able to pick up and tell basically who was given what entities, or what Anunnaki, rather, were given control over what regions of the world. This is a very important piece of information, something I haven't really gotten far into yet, but according to the Sumerian texts, each, basically like we think of Pangaea, you know, all the lands being one giant landmass, was not just some natural phenomenon of them splitting apart, but was actually an event caused by the Anunnaki, which then gave them the ability to give different individuals control over certain lands. So that's what we're going to be getting into for you here tonight. All right, here we go. Away from the sun in the light, without food or water, Marduk within the Ikur was alive and entombed. By his imprisonment and punishment, without trial, Serpanit, his spouse, raised a wailing. To Enki, her father-in-law, she hurried. She came to him with the young son, Nabu. To be among the living, Marduk must be returned, Serpanit said to Enki. Oh, man. Sorry about that. This thing's already doing weird stuff tonight. To be among the living, Marduk must be returned, Serpanit said to Enki. He sent her to Utu and Nannar, who with Inanna can intercede. Wearing a garment of atonement, to the Lord Marduk give life, she pleaded. Let him humbly continue life. Rulership he will lay aside. Inanna was not appeased. For the death of my beloved, the instigator must die, Inanna retorted. Ninarshug, the peacemaker, the brothers Enki and Enlil summoned. Punishment, the peacemaker, the brothers Enki and Enlil summoned. Punishment to Marduk must come. Death is not warranted to them, she said. Let Marduk live in exile. The succession on earth submit to Ninurta. Enlil was pleased by her words and smiled. Ninurta was his son. Of Ninurta, she was the mother. If between secession and life is the choice, what can I, a father, say? So did Enki with a heavy heart answer, in my lands widespread is the desolation. Keeps doing that. Keeps jumping off the page I'm on. Warfare must end. For Dumuzi, I am still in mourning. Let Marduk live in exile. If peace is to be returned and Marduk shall live, binding arrangements must be made, Enlil said to Enki. All facilities that bond heaven and earth to my hands alone must be entrusted. The mastery over the land of the two narrows you must give to another son of yours. The Agigi who Marduk follows, the landing place must be given up and abandoned. To a land of no return, by no descent of Zasudra inhabited, must Marduk in exile go. So did Enlil forcibly declare to the foremost among the brothers he met. The hand of fate, Enki in his heart acknowledged. Let it so be, with a bowed head he acknowledged. Ningazita alone, the Akir innards knows. Let him over its land be the master. After the decisions by the great Anunnaki were announced, Ningazita for the rescue they summoned. How Marduk for the blocked and sealed innards, how he was supposed to extricate Marduk from the blocked and sealed innards was his challenge. To let free the one who is buried alive, they gave him a task beyond conceiving. Ningazita contemplated the Akur's secret designs and planned on how to circumvent the blockings. Through a chiseled upper opening, Marduk will be rescued to the leaders, he said. At a place which I will show them, a doorway in the stones they will cut. From it upward, a twisting passageway they shall bore, rescue shaft will be created. Through hidden hollowings to the Akur's mists, they will continue. At the vortex of the hollowings, through the stones, they will break through. A doorway to the insides they will blow open, thereby circumventing the blockings. Up the grand gallery they will continue. The three stone bars they will raise. The uppermost chamber, Marduk's death prison, they will reach. Anunnaki, guided by Ningazita, outlined the plan, then followed. With tools that cracked the stones, they made the opening and they fashioned the rescue shaft. The insides of the artificed mount they reached, and they blew open an exit. Circumventing the three blocks of stones, the uppermost chamber they reached. On a small platform, the portescules they raised. Marduk fainted, and they rescued him. Carefully through the twisting shaft, they lowered the Lord to fresh air they brought him. Outside, Serpanit and Naboo, spouse and father, were awaiting. A joyful reunion it was. When to Marduk, his father Enki conveyed the terms of release to him. Marduk was enraged. I would rather die than forfeit my birthright, he shouted. Serpanit into his arms, Naboo thrust. We are a part of your future, she said softly. Marduk was angered, and he was also humbled. To fate I yield, he inaudibly said. With Serpanit and Naboo to the land of no return, he departed. What, you took him to Fort Worth? That's a little joke of mine. I live in Dallas, and we always call Fort Worth the land that time forgot. That town sucks. Never get caught up in Fort Worth. Oh, it sucks. To a place where horned beasts are hunted with wife and son, he went. Horned beasts are hunted. Huh. A land where horned beasts are hunted? What, like fucking rhinos? Where they send them to Africa? After Marduk had departed, Ninurta and the Akur re-entered the shaft. Through a horizontal corridor to the Akura's vulva, he went. Huh? The piece of land has a vulva? Has a vagina? That's interesting. Huh. The Akur. E-K-U-R. That's the land they went to, but they said it has a vulva. Nice. In its east wall, in a niche artfully fashioned, the Destiny Stone was emitting a red radiance. So the Destiny Stone is held in some kind of giant vagina? Well, fuck, why didn't you tell me? I'd have been already looking for this thing. I can have a team of poonhounds rounded up by this weekend, man. We'll snip that ass out. Oh, yeah. You kidding? Oh, dude. It's no problem. You should. All this time, we've been wondering where the Destiny Stone was, and of course, it's inside of a giant vagina. Well, that's no problem. We can handle this. Just give us a location. We'll sniff that poon out. No problem. I thought it was going to be harder than that. Jeez. Through a horizontal corridor to the occurs vulva, he went. You can't make this up, man. This is. The Destiny Stone was emitting a red radiance. Its power to kill me grabs me with a killing tracking. It seizes me, Ninurta said inside of the chamber. So it's got like a tractor beam. It starts killing you. Like, kind of sounds like what the, like the Ark of the Covenant. You guys have seen Raiders of the Lost Ark, right? You open it up and all this stuff, the crazy shit comes out. Take it away to obliteration. Destroy it. To his lieutenants, Ninurta shouted. Retracing his steps through the grand gallery to the topmost chamber, Ninurta went. In a hollowed-out chest, the heart of the Akur pulsated. Its net force by 5 compartments was enhanced. With his baton, Ninurta struck the stone chest. With a resonating sound, it responded. It's Gug Stone that determines directions. Ninurta ordered to be taken out to a place of his choice, carried. Coming down the grand gallery, Ninurta, the 27 pairs of Nibiru crystals were examined. Now, this is in black, as this highlighted as if it's important. Coming down the grand gallery, Ninurta examined the 27 pairs of Nibiru crystals. Now, this is interesting. The 27 pairs of Nibiru, that sounds exactly like Superman. He had the Fortress of Solitude, and it was inside of this cave, like in Antarctica or something, and he flies in there, and he arranges these crystals in a certain way, and he talks to his dead parents on the fucking crystal telephone or whatever. I mean, seriously. Many in his fight with Marduk were damaged. Some of this struggle intact survived. To remove the whole ones from their grooves, Ninurta ordered the others with his beam he pulverized. Outside the house, which like a mountain is, Ninurta in his black bird soared. There he goes again, the Klingon bird of prey. Black bird, Klingon bird of prey again. To the apex stone, his attention turned. The enemy's epitome he represented. Man, this thing is going crazy on me tonight. With his weapons, he shook it loose and toppled it to the ground in pieces. By this fear of Marduk is forever ended, Ninurta victorious declared. On the battleground, the assembled Anunnaki announced their praise of Ninurta. Like Anu, you are made, to their hero and leader, they shouted. To replace the incapacitated beacon, a mount near the place of the celestial chariots was chosen. Within its innards, the salvaged crystals were rearranged. Upon its peak, the Gug Stone, the stone of directing, was installed. Mount Mashu, mount of the supreme celestial bark, the mount was called. At that time, Enlil summoned his three sons. Enlil and Nursig also attended. Commands over olden lands to confirm, lordships over new lands to assign, they met. To Ninurta, who Anzu and Marduk had vanquished, the Enlilship powers were granted. In all the lands his father's surrogate to be, of the landing place in the Cedar Mountains, lordship to Ishkur was granted. To his domain northward thereof was he joined at the landing place. The land south and east thereof, where the Agigi and their offspring had spread, were given to Ninar as an everlasting endowment by his descendants and followers to keep and hold. The peninsula wherein the place of the chariots was included in Nanar's lands. Utu, as commander of the place and of the navel of the earth, was confirmed. In the lands of the two narrows, as agreed, Enki to Ningazita assigned lordship. To that, none of Enki's other sons objected. To that, Inanna was opposed. To the heritage of Dumuzi, her deceased bridegroom, did Inanna lay claim. A dominion of her own, she demanded of Enki and Enlil. How Inanna's demands were to be satisfied, the leaders contemplated. About the lands, the peoples, and the great Anunnaki, who decree fates in the council, took. Regarding the earth and its resettling words with anew, they exchanged. From the time of the deluge, the great calamity, almost two shars have passed. The earthlings have proliferated from mountain lands to dried lowlands they went. Of civilized mankind by Zisidora, there were descendants. With Anunnaki seed, they were intermixed. Offspring of Agigi who intermarried and roamed about in the distant lands of Cain's kinfolk survived. Few and lofty were the Anunnaki who from Nibiru had come. Few were their perfect descendants. House settlements for themselves and for earthlings were to be established, the great Anunnaki considered. However, mankind, lofty to remain, how to make the many, the few, obey and serve. This is highlighted and underlined. They were trying to figure out how they were going to remain lofty over mankind, how to remain gods, and how not only to make the many, but the few obey them and serve them. So right there, they're talking about, you know, how are they going to set up the control grid? How are they going to set up the power structure? How are they going to set up religion? How are they going to make it to where their aims are achieved? Mankind still gets to exist and survive and live, but we have to figure out how to make them obedient and serve us. Well, that's really getting into the heart of the stuff that I think that a lot of people in the research community have not wanted to tackle up until now. About all that and about the future of the leaders, with words were exchanged with Anu. To come to Earth one more time, Anu decided. With Antu, his spouse, he wished to come. So that's the end of the 11th tablet. We're going to read the synopsis of the 12th tablet right now to let you know what we're going to be picking up on next time. The synopsis of the 12th tablet, the soil dries, plains and river valleys are resettled. Plentiful gold comes from the land beyond the seas. Anu and his spouse Antu arrive for a memorable visit. Reminiscing, the leaders realize that they are destiny's pawns. They allocate three regions of civilization to mankind. Pardoned by the departing Anu, Marduk remains rebellious. The first region and space facilities are Enlilite lands, the lands of Enlil. Man's first civilization begins in the first region, Sumer. Now, there you go. Man's first civilization begins in the first region, Sumer, Sumeria. Marduk usurps a site to build an illicit launch tower. Frustrated by the Enlilites, Marduk seizes the second region. He deposes and exiles Ningazita, Toth. Yeah, well, in your fucking face. Sorry. I've just had people tell me that I've told Egypt people before, and Egypt crazy people and Egyptology people, not Egyptology, you know, people are just into Egypt stuff, that Thoth is an Anunnaki. The Book of Thoth, the Emerald Tablets, all that stuff, that's Anunnaki stuff. But they always associate, oh, it's not extraterrestrials. Well, in your face, there it is. He deposes and exiles Ninkasita Thoth to distant lands, and he declares himself Ra. Marduk declares himself Ra, supreme god in a new religion. Boom, there you go. So Marduk goes and sets up shop in Egypt and sets himself up as a new god of control there. Unbelievable. This is the next tablet we're going to be getting into. He declares himself Ra, supreme god in a new religion. He introduces pharaonic reigns to mark a new civilization. Enlil assigns his son Ishkur to protect the metal sources. Inanna is granted dominion in the third region, which is the Indus Valley region. Indus Valley region, geez, that's like Pakistan and Iran, all that, isn't it? So 266, the 12th tablet. That's where we're going to be picking up next time on the show. Boy, it's going to get interesting. The next resident stuff we're going to be reading, we're going to see how Egypt was set up, how Sumeria was set up, how, you know, religion and society got set up. This is where we're getting into the real interesting stuff. And those of you that have been listening throughout the whole time we've been reading this, man, this is what you've been waiting for right here. So we'll pick up on that tomorrow on the broadcast. Hey, tomorrow night, I'm not sure what time. I think it's at 6 o'clock or so. I think it's deepellumonair.com. E-L-L-U-M, deepellumonair.com. Pretty sure that's what it is. You can look that up on Google. Deep Ellum, D-E-E-P-E-L-L-U-M, deepellumonair.com. The Demigods, we're going to be live on a local internet radio show. We're going to be doing an interview there. My band, the Demigods, me, myself, Jamie Reeves, and Delphi, we're going to be on there tomorrow playing some of our songs, talking about what's going on with the band, and should be fun, so definitely check that out. And we'll get more into the Lost Book of Inky tomorrow. It is our fundraising week. We're about 300 short away from meeting our goal. Please use the donate button or just my direct PayPal email address, dayglow76@yahoo.com, and help us meet that goal so we can continue forward into our fourth year of broadcasting. My name is Josh Reeves. I love each and every one of you. We'll see you tomorrow for the broadcast. You guys have a great one. Take care.